And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 690, your final fad recap of the season. We're going to talk some final week streamers as well, kind of intermix all that, because it all plays in to each other, because we usually play weekly or weekly lineups, but a lot of daily lineups. You can still utilize this information, as All Rise just took place in Yankee Stadium as we speak. So that was fun. I guess we're 56 on the season for Aaron Judge. My goodness. And it's only appropriate when Aaron Judge goes yard, I throw it to my guest. I'm going to call him my co-host on my Monday shows here, our early week shows. You can find him on Twitter at BreakingBen_T. Bented, how are we doing, my friend?
I just thought I'd come across my phone, Bubba, and I am very happy. If the Yankees win tonight, they can clinch. So it's a big game. But I didn't mention to you before we recorded, but I'm actually going to the game Thursday, my dad and I. So hopefully it's still – they're still if they do win tonight or tomorrow, the Yankees, hopefully they still kind of go for it. It's supposed to be Colin, I think, Burns, last I look. So it should be a good day. But, yeah. And also hearing you say co-host. I know you've been back and forth between, like, guest co-host. Kind of surreal hearing that.
You're the co-host. You're the Monday, Tuesday guy, whatever the first show of the week is. You're the co-host.
It wasn't the plan, I know, but that's kind of how it's happened. And I appreciate it. So,
No, love having you on the show. People like it. So we'll keep doing it throughout the offseason. Probably weekly, if not bi-weekly or something, and keep the content coming. Bench with Bubba will be coming at you multiple times a week in the off season, and Ben will be a part of that as well. So we'll have some fun with that. And to your game on Thursday, I'd imagine you still get some action, because even if the Yankees clinch, they have the hangover game on Wednesday, but they're going to have a bye. So they got to stay a little fresh. Then, you know, they might let a couple guys rest here and there, but Cole should get his normal start because it'll be his last start. Burns, the Orioles have to win. So they got that going for him. So you should still have a fun one there in the Bronx to see where it goes. And hopefully Austin Wells can do something for you just to make Ryan even happier about that bet that he made. All right, folks, this will be a little bit different format, like I kind of led to at the beginning. We're going to recap Fab at the start of the show instead of the end of the show, because that'll probably go over a bunch of potential streamers to begin with. Then we will kind of highlight the main streamers by team schedules the rest of the way. I'll preface this. We talked before the show. If you looked at projected lineup starting grids or whatever for the week, nothing's locked in for the weekend. Zero. Nothing. So this is pure speculation on Tuesday evening as we record this show. Keep that in mind. But Ben, let's get to the most added players of the week, according to NFBC OC's 12-team leagues, for those keeping track at home. And it makes sense. This is a guy that I was dropping Joey Bart for and other catchers for this week. And this is one Hunter Goodman, who is catcher outfield eligible in the NFBC, a full week of Coors Field action on tap for the Rockies. Hunter Goodman's been hitting home runs outside of Coors to top it off. But Goodman was added in 113 leagues, as high as $70, as low as a dollar. We're going to say a couple prices this week that I'm just like, how do you have that much money left? I was winning. We'll talk about it. I was winning for like $3 because all I could do. People are spending $70 on Goodman, which I get. Throw all your money out. You can't take it when you're gone. But what's your thoughts on the Goodman move? Because like I said, he was a primary target of mine. As silly as it sounds, I felt like I can get almost more out of a Goodman playing, say, 4 to 5 games this week in Coors compared to a lot of other streaming picks further down the board.
Yeah, excuse me. I was a fan of Goodman. I don't think I was able to win him in any leagues. People are just more aggressive. I had a lot of $1 bids this past Sunday, which is fine. He's not guaranteed to go off, but I mean, it's definitely great having the 6 home games. And he's started four of the last 6 for the Rockies, all a catcher. Well, actually one at DH, so that's good for him as well. He could even doesn't catch all of the remaining games for the Rockies. He could DH or play the outfield. And I happen to have Goodman on a DC. I was going to have him in the outfield over someone like, I don't know, maybe like Robles if he didn't play. But I ended up playing Goodman at catcher. So it's nice to put him in there. And, it was too bad that he didn't really stick all year. He was up and down with the Rockies, Goodman. And it's, better late than never, especially like if you were someone who had him in a DC or whatever. Like, I am lucky to have him for this week. It's great. And even that with the outfield flexibility, if something happens on the weekend, I mean, Hunter Goodman as a catcher in Coors for probably 2 games is better than maybe a lefty platoon bat that happens to sit on Friday. So the flexibility is great, especially this week of all weeks. So I'm down with the ad. $70 is crazy that someone had that much left, but whatever they do. This is fine with them, I guess.
Yep. Michael C. in the chat goes, I had a dollar in every league. So when Bubba dropped $12 and $7 in the Bubba and the Bloom Auction League, it was like a hammer. Yeah, that was one of the few leagues I had a lot of money in, Michael. Trust me, because most of my leagues when we recap, it was like $3 Goodmans. And then I know a lot of my, I had a couple leagues with five winning bids, all for a dollar. Like it was just, that was the game. And it goes back to, I guess, something we can talk about maybe next week when we kind of recap our season is kind of, you know, I know you keep track of your fab, you have your charts and all this stuff of, you know, how much money should we have at the end? It's always the age old debate. Like so many people say, I want this number by September 1st. There's so many different ways to do this. And every year I try to save more and I feel like I do. And then when it comes to the final couple of weeks, I still feel like I don't have enough where it's just still kind of frustrating. But then you look back and it's like, well, what could I have done really differently outside of a couple like the goofy OC we joke about every week of mine where no one puts runner up bids in. Most leagues, you kind of have to go get your guys. So it's one of those, I'll say, don't beat yourselves up, but we'll talk more about that next week. I think that'd be a fun discussion to kind of look back on how that went. Cause it's always an unproven art is what I'll say about that one. Ozzie Albies, the second most added player this week in 91 leagues, as high as $70, as low as a buck. He homered on Sunday, which might've upped some interest in Albies. Cause I was kind of skeptical. Ben comes back. His wrist is good enough to play, but not hit left-handed. So it's not that strong yet. But he's still playing every day. He's hitting second in a potent lineup, a team that's going for it. So he should play every day. And that home run on Sunday couldn't have hurt. What was your interest level on a guy like Ozzie Albies this past week?
I didn't make a point to get Albies. He may have already been added beforehand in the main events. People are usually pretty aggressive with those injury stashes, especially if the return is imminent. But so I'm looking at what the Braves are lined up to face for the next, by the time listeners listen, it's probably the next 5 days, but there's three lefties, Peterson, Manaea, in the Mets series. And then Reagans is the projected Sunday starter. So who knows if he even starts, depending on what happens with the Royals. But there's also Singer and Lugo in between there as well. And I think someone looked it up when he hit his homer, Albies, and it may have been his fourth righty-on-righty homer of his career. So it'll be interesting to see what happens for him going into next season. Maybe he decides to stick with this, but in terms of this last week, anything can happen. Like we'll say plenty of times. And I'm sure, well, also I didn't really have the money for someone like a name like Albies either. And I was more dealing with volume. There's a chance he could sit like every other game. Maybe they want to just make sure the wrist doesn't get too aggravated. I could see that happening, even though the Braves are kind of fighting for that, one of those wild card positions, I believe. But yeah, he's a good ad. I did end up starting him in I had Albies in a DC, so I did switch him back in that lineup. But other than that, in Fab, I wasn't too aggressive.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. I wasn't like super focused on Albies. I was more like Otto Lopez and a couple other middle infield type guys. I was more in tune with, and maybe this will be a detriment. Maybe that'll hurt because maybe Albies goes off this week. Who knows? But I am concerned that the injury is not fully healed. And that kind of kept me off things. So we'll see where it goes. I'm rooting for him. I have a lot of shares of Albies previous. Like I haven't been in a lot of DCs. I haven't been Tout Wars. We're at IL spots, but I wasn't really aggressive in some fab leagues. Now we're going to get to a two-stepper. Jake Kalanowicz of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim picked up in 87 leagues, as high as $71, as low as a buck, making his first two-step on Tuesday evening. The game got delayed due to rain. It's supposed to start in the next 20 minutes or so as we record. But he gets the White Sox, obviously a great matchup, and then a Rangers team that's scuffling quite a bit. Ben, I had bids in on Kalanowicz, but I wasn't like overly aggressive because I like strikeout guys, and he does not do that. Could be a bad thing because if you need ratios, this could have been a great play potentially. What was your thoughts on Kalanowicz? He was probably available. I know I even saw him in 15s, quite a few spots.
Yeah, he was really available, and I think maybe all four of my fab leagues that are all 15s. I did have bids in for Kalanowicz. But yeah, like you pointed out, the strikeouts have been an issue for him all season, really. And just looking at September, for example, he has an 8.3 swinging strike rate, Kalanowicz, but a 10.4% K rate. So I feel like he's getting unlucky to something, or it's how he pitches. I don't know why it's consistently been so low, the strikeout rate, even though his swinging strike rate is not good, but it's not like it's 4%. You know, like an 8% swinging strike rate should produce at least like a 16% K rate, you would imagine, or something in the teens. But he doesn't walk anyone, which is, I guess, kind of why he's survived thus far. But yeah, like at least in my main event, which has been my main focus, no pun intended, I'm fighting in the strikeout department to stay ahead of a few teams. And even with the two starts, maybe it only becomes one start, he could only get you four strikeouts, which is half of what Garrett Crochet got last week in four innings. So it's with the risk of the ERA blow up and the WHIP blow up as well. But I did have bids in the case it did fall to me. But yeah, it's just tough when the strikeout rate's so low. But like I said, I feel like he's been unlucky with it, but you can't really count on it to rise in these last two starts.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure I did get him in a league or two, but that's because I have a million leagues. But he was not a focus of what I was doing. There's like Hayden Birdsong and some of these other guys we'll talk about were more of interest for me just because of their strikeout upside. I'll take the ratio hits, but I want Ks and wins, and I'll go that direction. Jordan Westberg, this is a fun one, came off the IL on Sunday. He started Sunday, he even started Tuesday at second base in both games. Westberg was picked up in 65 leagues, as high as $25, as low as a dollar. I have a feeling this one kind of slid under the radar a bit on Sunday. That's why he was only added in a handful of leagues. But what was your thoughts on Westberg? It's the guy that was having a monster season before a flukish injury.
Yeah, he's not – kind of like with Albies, I don't think he was available. I'm looking through my main event right now, and he wasn't added, so I'm assuming that someone had already stashed Westberg, which makes sense. It's a lot of money on the line. People are being pretty cutthroat with their ads even up until this point in the season. But, yeah, did he have a hamstring injury, Westberg, I think?
I thought he had, like, a fractured hand or wrist. Oh, it was a hand, pitch, yeah. Thing. It was a flukish thing.
Yeah, but those are – like, look at Josh Jung. It's
Oh, no, I agree, yeah.
Yeah, so – I would have definitely added Westberg. I mean, just for the potential that he brings. But same thing with Albies. I mean, maybe he sits, but the Orioles are fighting for at least the wild card seeding, I think. They probably won't catch the Yankees for the division. I mean, the Yankees win one game, that's it. But yeah, I like Westberg. It's but like I couldn't really add him. He wasn't really available for me otherwise. But I probably would have been interested if he had been available.
Yeah, no, it wasn't one of my top priorities just because the hand injury and whatnot, but heck of a season, and maybe he'll come through for some people this week. Jordan Walker. Now this, weirdly, if people have listened to any of my shows long enough, know my thoughts on Jordan Walker. He was a priority for me this week, though. Picked up in 57 leagues, as high as $61, as low as a dollar. Over his last nine games, only hitting .241, but three home runs, 22% K rate, which was nice to see from Walker. Oh, and I probably buried the lead. Plays the first three games this week in Coors Field. So what was your thoughts on Jordan Walker, who might be slowly figuring things out at the plate?
I was definitely interested. I mean, Coors can cure all things. I want to say I have Walker on two teams this week. Let me look. Yep, I'm starting him in a main event, not the good one, in my OLAC, which is competitive. So, yeah, I was willing to take the risk. I mean, he has homered at least once over the last few weeks, I think.
He has three homers over his last nine games.
Yeah, so he had two last week and one each week before that. So he's being productive, Walker. It's just that the average has not been there. But the best thing about Coors, though, is that BABIP. So if anything's going to fix his average, it'll be this series. And I believe there's two lefties going in that series.
Yep.
And, of course, they're awful. It's Gomber and Freeland. And my guy and Ryan's guy, Feltner's tonight, and he's not very good in Coors, but that's a different story. Yeah, so I was a fan of Walker because I'm playing him in two of my four Fab leagues, and I think it makes sense that he was one of the top, or at least one of the highest sought after ads this week.
Yep, most definitely. Here's another two-step I was much more interested in than Kolanowicz is Landon Knack of the Los Angeles Dodgers, picked up in 55 leagues, as high as $33, as low as a dollar. Knack pitches Tuesday night against San Diego and then at Coors, so I understand the concerns with these starts. Very well aware of that. But, you know, we talked about it earlier in the show, Ben, of we're not sure who's pitching this weekend. Well, on a Dodgers team that has no starting pitching, I'm pretty sure the young guy's throwing both starts. That's just the way I felt about things. Like Landon Knack, he might only go four or five innings. Fine. I think he goes five. I think he goes whatever, unless he gets shelled. But he's pitching both games is the way I was kind of looking at it. Coming off five shutout with seven Ks against the Marlins, got blown up against Atlanta, but then he looked good against Cleveland with eight more strikeouts in that one. So it's, you know, a young pitcher. He's going to have his ups and downs. I was very interested in Knack this week. What were your thoughts?
Like with the other guys, he was unavailable. I think he actually had been added for a while in main events, which makes sense. Dodgers, and he has pretty good ratios. It's definitely risky two-step. So in September versus righties, the Padres have a 127 WRC plus, which is second in baseball. And of course, there's the core start. And even though the Rockies aren't good, I mean, anyone's susceptible to a big blow up game there. But if you need the strikeout volume and the win potential, I get adding Knack. He probably was one of the, well, there weren't many two step options this week. because of the six games for everybody and a lot of the larger six-man rotations. But yeah, Knack has pitched well in September. The K rate's a little bit above what it should be, I believe. So it's been a 30%, only a 9.5% swing strike rate. So he's gotten fortunate with the K numbers, but it's the Dodgers. They'll put up runs for him. And if he doesn't go five innings, there's a good chance he gets two wins, which could be huge at this point in the season.
Yep. That's the goal. We'll see how the goal works because the goal does not always work. Albert Suarez looking at you. But
we can't mention him anymore on the pod.
Hey, it wasn't as bad as we thought it was going to be last on Sunday. It looked like it was gonna be really bad.
The six strikeouts was nice. Yeah. We were talking about it, but
It could have been way worse. And same with Griffin Canning, as that should never have happened to begin with. But next up here, Zach Lytle. This is a fun one. Picked up in 54 leagues, as high as 145, as low as a dollar. When people initially put their bids in, he was scheduled for a two-step. Then Pepio got the two-step. Lytle moved to Wednesday against Detroit. Still not a bad matchup. Detroit's obviously much better these days. Not going to sugarcoat that. But Lytle's a fun one because he's kind of been underperforming. Like, he's not giving up a ton of runs, but strikeouts have been limited, distance in games, whatever. Last three starts, though, Ben, dude's gone 18 innings, zero runs, and 16 strikeouts. Looked like a brand new man of late. So even for the one start, this is one thing I tried to emphasize with Ryan on Thursday night. I know people want the strikeouts, the wins, but some of these one start streams might be better than a lot of the two steps. And given Detroit's tricky, Lytle still seemed like a pretty good one. Unless you could think differently. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah. He wouldn't have been available in the 15s, but looking at what I have available in front of me. So yeah, the Tigers, I have the same leaderboard up. They are 8th in September against right-handed batters with a 110 WRC plus. Actually, I guess they're tied for 7th with the Marlins. Go figure. But 110 isn't a high number. It's just more of, so I guess, how hitting's cooled a little bit since down the home stretch here. And the one thing, though, with Lytle is K rate hasn't been the best, 21%, but he does have a good 12%, almost 13% swing strike rate in the month of September. The ERA indicator's a little high, but like, the Tigers have still been a streaming target for me. They're always one of the first teams I look at when I look at streaming pitchers, at least over the last few weeks here. And so it's still a good ad. I mean, he would have had the Sunday start, so who knows if they would have let him go more than three innings, the Rays. But I think Lytle's a good ad, even though the Tigers have been a little bit hotter, like you said, but they're still not the best lineup.
Yeah, Pepio pitched great over six innings, one run, I think six Ks on Tuesday. You'd sign up for that right now if Zach Lytle could give you that, like, right away. So definitely an option there. Erod was a two-start pitcher. He got shelled by the Giants on Monday night because the Giants apparently want to beat everybody now and ruin playoff hopes when they got their playoff hopes ripped away. And then Erod gets San Diego on Sunday, and San Diego might not be playing for anything. They might have, like, the one seed in the wild card locked up by then. That's still a big might. Erod was added in 52 leagues, as high as 179, as low as a dollar. What was your interest level on a guy like Erod?
I probably would have been interested for that two start week. He's someone I haven't had at all this year. I mean, look up, see what he's doing. It's not good podcasting. Eduardo Rodriguez. So yeah, he's actually had a walk issue. It seems like in September, 10.5% walk rate with a 39% ball rate. So it kind of supports the elevated walk rate, low swinging strike rate for Erod. Identical Sierra and XFIP of 4.29. So the thing with I wanted to look up to see how the NL West is shaping up because so the Diamondbacks are three and a half behind the Padres right now. So they are the last wild card. So yeah, there's a good chance they're fighting for that last game and the Padres are taking it off. So to your point, it could be hopefully a cakewalk matchup for Erod, and he has it in him to do well enough to not kill you. But I didn't actually see what the stat line is, but I did hear it was ugly. But I can't fault anyone if they had gone after, because I mean, the Giants beat up Suarez in that 1-2 step too. So they just like to spoil good matchups, it seems. Yeah,
they went and swept the Royals, who were trying to get in the postseason. The D-backs are trying to get in. They're having fun with them. It just makes me, as a Giants fan, I'm just sitting there going, you got to be kidding me, guys. Like, this is awesome. Especially because I did add Erod in a couple spots because, you know, the Giants. But, yeah, I can understand the move tremendously. Now we get to a really fun one, and one that's going to be a fun discussion point all offseason as well. That is one, Luis Angel Acuna of the New York Mets, picked up in 49 leagues as high as 220. Whoever had that, I have questions. As low as a dollar. Acuna over his first nine games, 379, six extra base hits, three being home runs. Almost more impressive to me, 13.3% K rate from a guy in his first stint in the bigs. And he's facing the Phillies. That's not an easy rotation. He's faced the Phillies in six of the nine games, for crying out loud. That says a lot. But the biggest question mark outside of the, you know, can he can sustain production as a young player, Ben, it was, when's Francisco coming back? Francisco Lindor. And I am under the impression that at best this weekend. So to me, Acuna was a start, at least for the first half of the week. See where it goes. Every day, it's going to be a day-to-day thing, obviously. So what were your thoughts on Acuna? Because I did not have any funds to try to get him. But I think this is one of those that he could get you 2 to 3 home runs this week, and I would not be shocked.
So I actually walked into him with a $1 bid on one of my teams.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, we'll get to it. It's a competitive team. So, I mean, but I had the decision. So it's my Olak, and I also have Lindor on that team. And I also have Jose Iglesias.
So you're just cornering the Mets market.
Yeah, I've got it all to myself. It's great. But I did see in the limited time I had to check Twitter tonight, I saw Dave McDonald, our friend.
The doctor was on this.
Yes, the doctor. Of course, anything injury related, Dave is first to the scene. So you always got to look out for him. But he was debating the same scenario for his own team, which was he was struggling if he wanted to start Lindor or Acuna. I have that same scenario in my Olak. But since I have Iglesias, I said, okay, well, if Lindor does come back early, that could eat into Luis Angel Acuna's playing time. So I started Iglesias over Acuna in that Olak because I figured I'd be guaranteed the three games of at-bats versus one or two maybe. In a vacuum, though, it does seem like Lindor won't play at least till the weekend. So if I had started Acuna, I'd probably be safe in terms of playing time anyway, but I just went with Jose Iglesias instead. But yeah, I mean, Acuna's got off to a great start. I never thought power was one of his strong suits in his profile. I think he's more of a speedster, right?
Historically. He's like his brother. He's young. He's going to develop both. That swing, if you've probably seen the side-by-sides, it's like it's a mirror image of Ronald's. It's scary.
Oh yeah, well that's great for the Mets. I mean, if he's a fraction of his brother, then that's going to be awesome for them. Yeah, so guys like Acuna can win you a league because if it's so close and just like he has a 379 average already. If he hits 350 this week with just one homer and five runs, five RBI, that's a massive week. So I get the ad, and it's just tricky with the Lindor injury. I mean, it's too bad that he's like the one phone replacement and no one really knows what's going to go on with Lindor, but that's like the only really downside to Acuna, I'd say.
Yeah, and like the Iglesias part you mentioned, the dude's got like a 16-game hitting streak or something. Like right. He's leading off. He's not going anywhere. Like that's not changing. What I'm kind of in my brain, my 2025 mindset in certain aspects is what position in the outfield does Acuna play next year? Because even though it's just been like, you know, nine games, it's going to be very, very difficult to convince your fan base that he's not starting the year on the big club. So I'm really curious. And then that's where I said this comes into where does he get drafted next year? There's so many fun questions with this hot finish to the season here with Luis Angel Acuna. But back to the fab part. Yeah, tricky situation. There's a lot of ways to probably get it right and get it wrong. And you're basically throwing darts at a wall at this point in time. Like I've been talking to a couple guys in my Substacks that have been asking questions. And some are very frustrated with some of the way things have played out in certain days. And I'm like, all you can do is set yourself up. There's nothing you can do after that. It's just the reality of the situation. If you can try to predict baseball, kudos to you. Luke Weaver, we hit on him last week, picked up in 44 more leagues, as high as 61, as low as a dollar. I don't think we have much to say here besides Ben. I'm going to echo it what I said last week. Dude's filthy, absolutely filthy. And you guys have a tough decision to make in this offseason. I don't know if Holmes a free agent because that'll make it real easy. Otherwise,
he'll probably be gone. Okay, he's a free agent.
Do you think, again, just – you know, side note, you think Weaver starts 2025 as the closer?
I don't know what his contract is, if he's even going to be on the team again, but I don't think they liked him the way they liked Holmes when they made him the reliever, because they went out, I know like they went out and signed or traded for Holmes from the Pirates. And he kind of was like they're fined, and that's why they kept him as a closer. With Weaver, I feel like he was kind of like a last resort. So I imagine they probably will try to target a closer, but if, I don't know, I could see Weaver kind of falling back. I mean, because this was so out of nowhere how well he's been pitching after he was so bad as a starter. But I mean, there's been countless examples of starters going to relievers and being so much better. So who knows if it sticks. I mean, he is dominant. Like, he throws hard enough to be a closer. I think Weaver throws like 96 and has other great pitches to go with it. So I feel like they'll go for, I don't know, but they're also trying to cut costs, even though they're the
Yankees. Weaver has a club option for 2025. I'm guessing that's pretty cheap.
Yeah, it can't be more than like $6 million, I'd imagine. Yeah. So he'll be back then, I'm sure, because of how good he's been. And he's a good option if they don't get a stud closer. I don't know what the top of the line is for the offseason, but I mean, I don't think he's going to be their first priority or like their first plan for the closer role is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Okay. Well, fun stuff to think about this offseason. Nick Martinez of the Reds picked up in 37 leagues, as high as 145, as low as a dollar. Not sure the pricing on that, but he's pitching, well, scheduled to pitch Friday in Wrigley Field. He wasn't really on my radar. I know Ryan was a fan of him coming into this week. Martinez has been good, don't get me wrong, but with the other options on the table, I wasn't as focused on Nick Martinez. Any thoughts on Martinez heading into Wrigley this weekend?
It's a weird one. I feel like these ads were 2 weeks too late because of that. He had that massive two-step week, which was a good target, so I don't get why he wasn't added in more spots for that week. And then he had six scoreless the following week last week. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure the Cubs are probably the worst matchup of those three games.
Yeah, it's got to be, because that's a I got it up right here. Let's take a peek at it. Over the last 30 days, the Cubs versus right-handed pitchers, 22% K rate, 276 average, 194 ISO, 135 WRC plus. Not ideal. Not ideal, folks. That's why I was kind of sitting back wondering, what? But we'll see. Watch them go and deal on a Friday afternoon in Wrigley. But that's baseball for you. All right, Otto Lopez, I mentioned him earlier in the show. I want to get your thoughts here. Picked up in 37 leagues, as high as 51, as low as a dollar. Lopez already has a hit on Tuesday evening. But, you know, since returning from the IL, let's just go back to November. I'm already in 2025. September 3rd, basically, he's been playing every day since then. 347, three homers, three steals. Just been a beast offensively for the Marlins. This is why I was kind of, I'll take Otto for cheap instead of Luis Angel, not thinking I can get him as cheap as you did. But what are your thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, he, in the last 3 weeks, he's hitting a homer each week. Almost stolen a base or two every week this season. So he's as consistent of a base stealer as they come. And he's playing full time. And I get it. I'm surprised he wasn't already rostered, but it is the OCs. So he's definitely. He's been going at 15 for a while, Lopez, but I definitely like it. And I don't know if we're talking about our actual lineups, but I'm starting three Marlins as it is in my most important main event, because I feel like they're just going to play out this season. So I feel like Otto was probably going to start all six games this week. Maybe he sits Sunday. I mean, I don't know who else they would play, though. Like, there's no 40-man rosters anymore.
He'll play every day.
I'm thinking you're probably getting 20 mid-20s at-bats and one or two steals, hopefully, maybe three. So I like the Otto.
It's a good philosophy, like you said. We've talked about it. Bad teams have good fantasy players. Bad teams also have nothing to lose this final week of the season. Unless you're the Pirates and you decide to DFA the legend himself for plate appearances short of a $200,000 bonus, so you can see what Luis Peguero can do at the big league level that he hasn't been able to do previously. So that's the only one where a bad team gets you. But the White Sox, they're going to play their – like Benintendi, he's going to play every game. The Marlins are going to do their thing. You'd imagine, I'm trying to think of like the Rockies will probably do their thing as long as the guys are healthy, like Doyle's back in the lineup on Tuesday, so on and so forth. The Angels, they're going to play their guys, like Waggaman, picked him up in a couple 15s. That's a whole, I got laughed at for that. And then I wouldn't, you know, put my money where my mouth was on that one, folks. But it's things like that, like a guaranteed playing time, like you're talking about, that's going to happen. You're not going to get as screwed more often than not on the bad baseball teams. All right, well, let's hop around here. Hayden Birdsong, popular two-step. Any initial thoughts on Birdsong? He was pretty good as on Monday night. Has another outing this weekend against the Cardinals.
he was someone that I don't know if you remember, but I was writing him off when we first pulled up that rest of the season schedule workbook and how bad the Giants' schedule was. But he's kind of survived it, Hayden. He has two games that didn't hurt you. One, of course, versus the Diamondbacks, his last game. He only allowed two runs in five innings, got the win, six strikeouts. It's a great start. Shut out the Brewers over five innings, four Ks, a 0.6 whip in that one, no win. But he's kind of just been safe these last three outings. And who does he face
St. Louis.
St. Louis, yeah, they're kind of
at home.
It is the Sunday. I mean, the Giants probably let him go, though.
He's starting. He's got no reason not to.
Yeah, so I guess, so you think he'll go as long as he can?
Yeah, like people see the five innings last night, he threw like 96 pitches. So it's not like they were cutting him down. He just, you know, they're going to keep him around 100. That's just the reality of the situation. Maybe there's a world where they go, hey, you get three innings, we're going to go to, like, you know, maybe Tristan Beck or kind of give some other guys a shot. Maybe that could happen on Sunday, but I don't foresee it. The Giants, like, why? What are we doing? So it should be Birdsong for at least five, I'd imagine, unless he gets shelled.
It's definitely risky, though, because before these last three starts, he had walks of five. He had five walks, four walks, four walks, three walks, and his four starts prior to the three versus Milwaukee, Baltimore, Arizona. So definitely a risk for your whip, but he has been throwing well, and the Cardinals are a pretty easy matchup, or they should be at least. Watch, they'll, like, everyone will go off, but they'll probably sit a lot of their veterans that day anyway, so maybe it's fine for Birdsong.
Yeah, Birdsong, the last five starts, got a few wins, got some strikeouts. ERA is good, but that whip, I think I mentioned it on the first pitch show, he's thrown like 31 innings with 33 Ks and 19 walks. So that is not helping the cause, folks, when all things are said and done for that. Adam in the chat here says, Jose Quintana was my dollar ad across most OCs. Just one earned run in the last 32 innings. Cue up the blow up. Your process makes sense, Ben. Do you have any thoughts on Quintana here, who I'm guessing before I even look plays the Reds or the Braves? No, he gets Milwaukee Brewers on Friday. Milwaukee's got nothing to play for. So, I guess maybe seeding in the wild card, maybe. But they should be pretty close to wrapping that up by then. I think they'll be battling the Padres for the top seed. What are your thoughts on that? Because the Brew Crew, they're a potent team.
They are. So when I have Quintana and one of my two main events that aren't doing anything. But when I was projecting my lineup for this week, I saw that. I'm like, I don't really want to start him. But now I'm looking at the Brewers in September, and they have almost a 20% strikeout rate versus lefties and a 75 WRC plus. So,
yep.
I mean, if that trend stays true over this last week, I could see it potentially being a good start. Quintana is always tough, though. He's your classic streamer, could easily walk four guys and get blown up, like Adam was saying. But hopefully it doesn't happen for him. I don't know. I would just be careful, and I would try to go for better options, I think, but you only have so many things you can do at this point in the season.
Yeah, all things considered, I think it's a decent move. But yeah, a lot of these guys are streamers for a reason. I know I said that many times this season, but there's a reason they're not locked into rosters throughout the season. A lot of roller coasters there. Michael C in the chat, Birdsong has looked better lately. Broadcast said that they've been working on his fastball. It's not missing as much or as badly, at least. You know, and it makes sense. Young pitcher, like, he's been up and down. They've been working with him. I think he's next season could be a fun one for Hayden Birdsong. Jason Dominguez added in 35 leagues, didn't even start to start the week. That's already a point of contention because Verdugo's playing once again. I think that's how it's going to be the rest of the week. And that's why I was kind of hesitant on being too in on Dominguez. Skills are great. Playing time is very inconsistent. You're the Yankees guy. What have you heard about that one?
Yep, this is what I said, I think, last week when we were discussing Dominguez. It's they don't want to sit Verdugo because they went out and traded for him. So they have to prove that it was the right move, and they're going to keep playing him as much as they can. And it'll just be a timeshare between Stanton, Verdugo, and Dominguez. I mean, they're already interviewing. I remember watching the one game, and Stanton was sitting, and they had asked him about it beforehand, and he was being like the professional he was, Stanton. But it's just too many mouths to feed in the outfield right now, and the Yankees don't have what it takes to actually sit Verdugo for Dominguez. I don't know. I guess they probably want the veteran going forward in the playoffs, which I get that angle, but Dominguez is. I'm pretty confident he's better than Verdugo at this point, but he's not going to get the at-bats. So that's why I wasn't too aggressive adding Dominguez when he got called back up last week. And if you did add him for this week, you may just be disappointed at getting a couple zeros over the last six games.
Well, don't look at the TV, Ben, because you might get to see a clincher on Thursday still. Jonathan Cannon was a popular two-step for some reason. There's Jose Quintana added in 34 leagues, as high as 58, as low as a dollar. Blackman was added in 34 full week in course. He's going to retire at the end of the season. Brady Basso, thanks to you for tipping me off, losing his two-step. Jonathan Aranda, Trevor Story still getting picked up. Anybody else that stands out to you on this list that you'd like to discuss? Like Brant Herter, we'll talk about him when we do my ads. Same with Jose Quintillo. But anybody else before we recap our picks?
Ramon Laureano is pretty nice. He was pretty sought after in 15s because he's playing every day for the Braves and he's performing well. Weathers, he had a decent two-step, but he was only added 17 times in OCs.
And he's pitching well against the Twins on Tuesday. I think he's through four, at least with one run. So you take that already. If they pulled him right now, I know you want wins in a two-step, but if you told me you got four innings with one run for Weathers against the Twins, you'd probably be like, okay, I can live with that.
Right. I mean, and also, too, I remember when I was looking at the matchups, the Twins are definitely the cakier matchup of the two. The Blue Jays have been kind of high lately. So if, for whatever reason, Weathers gets skipped on Sunday, it's not in the end of the world. Like, he's probably done what you're hoping for, at least. And, I thought he was pretty popular in the 15 streets. Let's see what else. Oh, Yastrzemski's been on fire, as I know you're aware. At least I'll talk about this guy, but I was asking you about him Sunday, I believe, or yesterday. Ivan Herrera, he got added in a few spots.
Did you see he was starting at catcher tonight?
Ivan Herrera, I was very happy. When I saw that Underdog's account, I'm like, yes, let's go. I saw it on FBC, one of the two. I was very happy to see that. Like I was saying, I was thinking he was the lefty platoon guy, but he's actually starting versus righty tonight. So I'm assuming he'll get two starts in course, which is all I really wanted. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah, no, that was a fun one. I appreciated Ben texting the catcher guy to get his opinion on a catcher situation. It warms my heart when people actually acknowledge it. So, but it was funny because that's the moves were, like I said, Goodman was my top target this week. And it's just catchers matter, folks, even in the end. And Herrera was a spec. Oh, actually picked him up in tout. I dropped Páez, picked up Herrera for the same conversation we had. So, yes.
Yep. Yeah, and then after that, it's just Caratini was interesting too. He was one of my so I was doing the add a third catcher thing because of what could potentially go wrong. I mean, you don't need any pitchers for this week except for the ones you're starting. Caratini's been playing. He's playing first base for the Astros, or he's in the catching, and Diaz is playing first base. So I thought he was interesting as well. He was down in my bid list. I don't think I got him anywhere.
We will get to him on mine. Trust me. Caratini was 100% on my. I got him in a few. Yes.
Nice. Yeah. So that was I'm not surprised that you were in on that one.
Yeah, I got laughed at when I mentioned that on Thursday night, and I'm like, dude, he's playing every day. First base, DH, catcher. He's actually hitting. Like, what else do you want for the final week of the season? What do
you want? I'm gonna cut you some slack. He's got to cut you.
I'm like, come on. I know you're the brains of the operation here, but come on. It works. Trust me.
His reactions are great sometimes when you say someone and it's kind of obscure. I love it. It's so funny.
I think I have a 15 brain when I think of players, and in reality, at a 12, you don't need them. So maybe that's one of my crutches. Like, I need to focus a little differently. But
he plays a lot of 15s, though. So yeah, no, he should be thinking that way as it is.
Oh, he does. When I see his moves over the weekend, don't you worry. He knows. And in the chat here, Adam said, where I needed a home run, I was able to add Yastrzemski, just ride the hot bat. Yep. Been preaching that one religiously for a few weeks, writing it, talking it. The dude's crushing it. So it makes more tough decisions for the Giants in the offseason. All right, Ben, let's talk about our moves. You mentioned you had some moves in your 15. So let's see who you added this past week.
All right, let me pull it up. I'll mention all the leagues, but I'll focus more on the ones that are competing. So in main one, I added Heston Kjerstad, dropped Cooper Criswell, $1 no backup. And I added Kyle Stowers, who was actually a big target of mine. I have him, Stowers, on all four Fab teams now. I dropped Jose Quijada, $1 backup.
Love that for 15s.
Yeah, Stowers has been playing. He didn't really do much the last couple of weeks, but he can get so hot so quickly. And I think they have all righties.
They have all righties.
And he's in the same boat as Ada Lopez. He's one of the guys I'm starting for the Marlins all over the place. I think he'll play every game. So here it is. So you'll appreciate this. So my main event three, which also isn't doing well, I added Herrera there, dropped Adrian Del Castillo. I did miss you saying about Castillo getting sent down. I listened to you and Ryan afterwards. I'm like, I missed that one. But this main's not competing, so it's all right. $1 backup. And I added your boy, Eric Wagaman. I dropped Albert Suarez, 1-1. I remember I was looking early in the week and I, I filtered by at bats. I go, who is Eric Wagman? Because he had the most available in my 15s. And I looked in, I'm like, oh, he's playing every day.
Yep.
That's all that matters. All right. So here's main event two, which is competing for the league title. This is the things you have to do sometimes. So I had $3 allocated. I had $7 left. I had $3 for a pitcher, a starting pitcher. I ended up getting Tyler Anderson versus the White Sox. He had been dropped. He kind of got blown up, but it's the White Sox, and hope he doesn't let me down. But I dropped McCutcheon, $3 to two. So it was a competitive bid. Here I also added Herrera. I dropped Brady Singer. I added someone who was surprising when I looked into playing time, Yuli Gurriel. He's been playing every day for the Royals. They get three lefties against the Nationals to start the week. So I'm starting him at least first half of the week. See what happens. I dropped Griffin Canning without a backup. Then for there's a middle infielder, because I have Lindor on this team, I added J.P. Crawford, dropped Albert Suarez, went out on a backup. And then, so you mentioned Brady Basso. I still added Basso because I think he's playing the Rangers.
Yes, the Rangers, yeah.
Yeah, they've been awful versus lefties lately. And, I mean, Seager's out. Who knows what happens with, some of the other guys are banged up. So I added Basso. I dropped Alec Marsh, $1 no backup. So I rolled with Basso and Anderson this week in my lineup, and I did start Herrera and Gurriel, and Crawford's a bench bat. So we'll see what happens in the next half of the week with starting those guys. And then here's my OLAC, last one to go over. I added Cade Povich. So I ended up not even dropping Povich in my good main because I started him last week, and I think he was against he had the Tigers again, and they've been bad versus lefties. He shut him down the first time, so no one really was competing. Someone that had a $1 bid, I bid $4 for Povich. I got him 4-1. I dropped Canning there. I would have started Canning had he had the two-step that was projected for this week originally, but he got shifted around. That's all right, though. So I'm starting Povich in my OLAC in the main, actually. And then I added Ryan Weathers in the OLAC for the two-start. Dropped Suarez 3-1. I added Kerstad here, dropped Cooper Criswell 2-0. I didn't start Kerstad. I think because he only has two games, but maybe on the weekend I'll have to play him. So this is where I added Acuna. I added Acuna, dropped Kumar Rocker 1-0. Wasn't even a backup bid on Acuna.
Wow. Wow.
Waxman's in this league, but he didn't make a bid, so he must have been out of money or something. But it's a pretty competitive OLAC, so I was surprised. I got Herrera here for $1, no backup, dropped Kyle Gibson. And then I added Kyle Stowers here, dropped Hunter Renfro $1, no backup. So I was pretty happy with how I made out in my two competitive leagues. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. For me, I'll start with my 15s, a couple of them here. The OLAC, I'm not going to, you know, make any money, but I'm always going to be competitive to the end. Probably ticks off some people in the league, but so be it. Picked up Lourdes Gurriel, dropped Jack Leiter 12-2, added Brady Basso, dropped AJ Puck 12-5, added Jared Triolo, dropped Whit Merrifield 6-4 in that one. So, you know, Triolo's already got an RBI single tonight, so I'll take those little things in life. Listener League One, Ryan Pepio dropped Lance Lynn 9-3. So far, so good there. Added Hunter Goodman, dropped Joey Bart 8-6. That's feeling nice already. And then added Pavin Smith, dropped Rafael Devers 7-1. So made those three moves. I added Acuna the week before in that one. And then Auction League Two, Brady Basso dropped Jerry Encarnacion 6-1. I got outbid on everybody else I put in. I had lists and everybody else was taken. That was pretty impressive stuff, folks. In my 12s, my OCs, this is where things I did more calculated in this league than I've ever done. Hunter Goodman, $3, dropped Joey Bart, runner up, $2. Added Jose Lopez, or not Otto Lopez, dropped Jose Tena, $3, $2 runner up. So feeling good about those. Added Jordan Walker, dropped Jake McCarthy, who's been playing okay, 3-1. One of those Coors. I needed power. And then I got Brant Herter of the Tigers, dropped Kevin Gausman in this one, 1-0, because Gausman at the time still had the concerns with his back, and I'm still not 100%, you know, sold on that. But Red Sox do stink, so that could backfire. I just wanted to highlight Brant Herter real quick, so we didn't talk about him earlier. But basically, since joining, like, five innings or more is what I'm going to put in here, because he's had an opener for almost all of his outings, but he's actually supposed to start this week. But since the 27th, he's made five appearances. He's gotten five innings and 4 out of 5. He's allowed a total of 5 earned runs, 20 strikeouts and 23 innings, 4 wins in the 5 appearances. So I'm a big fan of what we saw there. And when it comes to Brant Herter, the Tigers are facing, he gets the Chicago White Sox if that doesn't help anymore. So I was interested in that for a buck. OC2. This is the one I'm trying to hang on and win. This was my $5 $1 bids. Victor Caratini dropped Joey Bart 1-0. Carlos Santana dropped Ty France 1-0. Michael Conforto dropped Jake McCarthy 1-0. Conforto went deep on Monday night. Landon Knack dropped Lance Lynn 1-0. And Hayden Birdsong dropped Sonny Gray 1-0. Birdsong got the win with 6 Ks. So initially things are feeling good in that one. OC3. Added Hunter Goodman, dropped Joey Bart 1-0. This is the one where there's literally every bid had no runner-ups again in this one, so go figure. Added Jordan Walker, dropped Sonny Gray 1-0. Added Taylor Ward, dropped Mickey Moniak 1-0. And for those Taylor Ward people out there that, you know, I was one of them, great start to the year, horrific middle to the year. Things have gotten a lot better for Taylor Ward is what I'm going to say. Just since September 1st, when you're looking at Taylor Ward, he's hitting 320 with 7 homers, 17 runs scored, 12 RBIs and a stolen base. Looking a lot more like the guy we hoped he was going to be at the beginning of the season. And he gets the White Sox for three, which you, that's why Waugaman and some of those other guys for the Angels are very appealing. And then over the weekend, the Angels get, there it is. They get the Texas Rangers, who looks like it's going to be DeGrom, Heaney, Eovaldi, but we'll see how that plays out when the dust settles. So those were my moves. So far, so good. But we'll see. We'll see as the week goes on.
So I had Taylor Ward in my Yahoo League. I'm looking at his year-to-date stats. He's actually pretty impressive. 73 runs, 25 homers, 72 RBI, 5 steals, which is okay, and roughly 250 average. So that's kind of where he was going ADP. That's kind of the value you were hoping for when you drafted
that horrible middle of the season too, which is crazy.
Yeah, 181 average in June, 174 in July. That really hurt his numbers. If he was his average in those 2 months, it could have been even better, 30 homers maybe.
Yep, so that's why he'll be another fun discussion point in the offseason of do you buy back in type thing, which I think I do.
They could be so bad, though, the Angels.
Yeah.
It could be good or bad, I guess, how you want to look at it.
Yeah, it's kind of, it could be the Tigers before the Tigers got good, or is it going to, like, what's it going to be type thing of the Royals?
White Sox path.
Yeah, it could be that too. That's the other problem. You are correct on that one, my friend. All right, we're going to roll through the RotoWire projected starter grid real quick. Like I said before, Friday through Sunday, nothing's confirmed yet. Nothing. So we're throwing darts here and kind of hoping see what sticks. But we're just going to go team by team real quickly. And if you can think of any potential streams, knock yourself out here. Ben, D-backs over the weekend are starting from tomorrow. They got Gallen going on Wednesday, Kelly, Nelson, E-Rod on Sunday. They're all rostered. And I don't know if Ryan Nelson might not even be back yet. So that's a 50-50 there. And they're facing San Diego and the Giants, one lefty, three righties. Anybody of interest? Like I said, I picked up Pavin Smith in a 12, but anybody stand out to you there?
Yeah, they're probably all stars. So I had the issue with Camaro Kelly in a DC is that he left his last start early and it was up in the air if he was going to start on Friday. So having that bold name would have been nice before lineup set this week, but it's a DC with limited options. So I figured he's my best bet. If I could take a zero, it's better than probably whoever I have left on my bench, but just be wary of that. If it's a daily league or whatever, Kelly may not start on Friday.
Yep. Did the same thing with Kelly in a DC with you there. Braves, all their bats will be taken. I'm going to ask you, though, Grant Holmes projected to start on Saturday. He's been limited to 3 or 4 innings. He's taking on the Kansas City Royals. Are you running Holmes out there if he's available, which I know he will be in a lot of Yahoo leagues?
Yeah, he was someone I had in my bid list. I just never got him, though. But, yeah, I was fine adding him for that stream. The Royals have been bad in September. So, at least from a WRC plus standpoint, 77 is what their total is for the month, which isn't very good.
Yep, I'm with you 100% there. Baltimore Orioles, you mentioned you added Cade Povich. I support that full-heartedly. I like that pickup a lot. Albert Suarez is on Saturday versus the Twins. Dean Kramer, who's looked good against the Yanks, gets the Twins on Sunday if he makes that start. So are you interested in picking up any of those pitchers to stream this weekend?
No, and of course Suarez will go 7 shutout innings, yes. 7 strikeouts, get the win, and we will be pulling whatever hair we have out.
Exactly. Boston Red Sox, you got Richard Fitz pitching on Wednesday. Don't know what to do with him. He's been great, but I think Regression Monster's got to be coming there.
Great name, though.
A phenomenal name. Like, why isn't Dick Mountain still on that team? the things you could do with that roster. Cutter Crawford on Friday, Pavetta Saturday. Tanner Houck, they're saying he's going to throw a limited start like he's been throwing so far. So Houck is throwing Sunday. The beat writers reported that on Tuesday, but they also said it'll be limited to three or four innings. They're taking on Tampa Bay over the weekend, which is great. So if Houck's available out there, are you going to pick him up for like the four innings?
So I did start him, Houck, in my two DCs, and I think I had bids in and where he was available in one of my 15. So I would have started him for that. I mean, he already got the one win. I don't think he had a strikeout though. It's kind of a weird start, but yeah, if he goes only three or four, hopefully he gets four or five strikeouts to add to the total. And hopefully he helps your whip in ERA for the week. So I'm fine with that one.
All right. The Cubbies over the weekend, they get Jameson, Taillon, Hendricks, and Moniga. Interested in any Taillon or Hendricks action there versus Cincinnati in Wrigley Field?
I don't, they're okay. I mean, N12s, I try to do better. Maybe Hendricks just get demolished. I know you said he had been pitching well, which is true. And Taillon, he's been okay. I mean, I don't have much faith in him anymore. I feel like he's just been okay in the last couple of years, but okay could be fine. But they are in Wrigley, so maybe the wind's blowing out, but it's colder now, so who knows. But I wouldn't have been excited to start either one.
Yeah, but yeah. Hendricks is now Kyle Gibson type, where he's going to throw some good ones and throw some bad ones, and if you can figure out, maybe Albert Suarez goes into the mix there. Knock yourselves out. they're facing three righties, but I don't think there's many guys available for the Cubs. Check your wires. Maybe Pete Crow's out there, but I doubt like your Haps, your Suzuki's. Those guys are all pretty rostered. Cincinnati, Nick Martinez, we talked about. Are you interested in a Rhett Lauder in Wrigley on Saturday?
I think we mentioned before how good the Cubs have been for the Nick Martinez ad. And let me pull up Lauder real quick. I think it's been pretty ugly under the hood.
Yeah, he's not striking people out either. He's got the Kahanowitz thing, but better than Kahanowitz.
Yeah, he's actually doubled Kahanowitz's strikeout rate almost. He has 16.9 for Lauder. But yeah, he is the same issue, 8.5% swing strike rate, only a 22% CSW. So the thing with Lauder is he has an 89% left on base percentage. So that's where the Lux come in. Yeah, it's a risky start. I mean, it's only one start, so he could get by. He could go lucky again, but I'm not confident that it'll go well.
Yep, I'm with you there. And the Reds, you're probably not finding too much worthwhile to hitting-wise. Guardians over the weekend, Ben Lively, Matt Boyd, Gavin Williams versus an Astros team that might not need to start anybody. So any interest in Lively? Because I imagine Boyd and Williams should be widely rostered.
Yeah. The point about the Astros not being that playing everyone makes sense. I mean, they're kind of fully healthy now, so they're definitely dangerous. But, I mean, Williams has been pretty bad. Boyd, I think he had a rough start recently, but yeah, I mean, they're definitely not targets, any of those three guys for me. I mean, if you have to start them, I guess you do, but I would try to look elsewhere probably.
The one bat besides Kyle Manzardo, because there's three righties projected that week, and Manzardo went deep again on Tuesday. Like, if he's available, go grab him. I'd be all for that. I want to get your thoughts, if we can, real quick on Angel Martinez, who's been leading off for the Guardians with Stephen Kwan out. There's still no word on when Kwan will return. Could be any day, literally, because it's just body fatigue. So who knows what that all entails. But if you're looking at Angel Martinez, who's leading off for the Guardians with Kwan out, over his last 9 games, hitting .250, stolen base. Anything for you there?
Yeah, I mean, as long as Kwan's out, I was going to actually mention Martinez before you mentioned him. So I guess Rocchio also. I mean, but second on Martinez, yeah. So Kwan's player page on the NFBC says Friday for his return, but the note doesn't sound – well, I mean, the note's a week old at this point, so I don't know what's happened since they last updated it, but it's tough. I mean, if it's daily, you can just wait till Friday, hopefully, and then add Martinez if Kwan isn't back, because hitting leadoff for 3 games is pretty nice, at least. But, yeah, like I said, Rocchio, Will Brennan's kind of playing again now, but I don't know. We've been there, done that with him.
Yeah,
not too much else there with the Guardians.
And remember, check your leagues, because like if you're playing your Yahoo's, ESPN, CBS, you might have a lot more guys available. Like I know Buxton was available today and some other stuff, so you never know what's going on in your league. So check those out. But we'll probably hit the farther out options here for you. Colorado in Coors Field, Quantrill, Sensatella, Feltner versus the Dodgers. I think a no on that one, right? Yeah, no.
Except for that scenario, if you're in a dynasty league, you're trying to tank. Have at it in that scenario. Otherwise, stay far away.
Yep, stay far, far away. White Sox, I'm just going to pass there. It's Detroit, who's going to probably be playing for their postseason lives.
I didn't mind Chris Flexen or Jonathan Cannon, though, for 15s. Okay. I had bids in for those guys. Cannon had the two-step, but that's what you do in a 15.
Yep, for sure. Detroit Tigers, Casey Mize is not for sure pitching yet. I mentioned Brant Herder. I'm a fan of that. Casey Mize, like literally the Tigers are saying they don't know if they'll throw him, if they'll throw him for a couple innings. That's a wide open one on Friday against the White Sox. But Herder against the White Sox, I'm a huge fan of that one.
Yes, Herder, I think he had like five straight wins before his last outing as a follower. So, I mean, that could be huge in this last week.
Big fan of that. It's three righties on the mound. So, again, check your leagues. Maybe a Kerry Carpenter slid through the cracks, stuff like that. There'll be a lot of options out there for you as well.
Trey Houston Sweeney.
What's up?
Trey Sweeney, Ryan's guy.
Trey Sweeney. There you go. Sydney Sweeney's illegitimate brother. So go check that one out, everybody. Hey, if you guys watched the tweet, I quote tweeted Ryan in today. The Tigers gave nicknames for all their players. He even says the team calls him Sydney. So just throwing that
That's
out.
That's awesome.
I'm just throwing it out there. Like, people make fun of me. Like, I played baseball for way too long. I know the dumb brains that are going through that dugout. And it was proven correct. Houston Astros, Verlander might not even start on Friday. So keep your eyes peeled on that one, folks. That can be a bullpen or they call someone up situation there. Ronel Blanco is going to start Saturday against Cleveland. And he should start because the rest of the rotation will be getting set up for the postseason. Blanco's been added and dropped a ton. He's been great his last two starts, so he might be available. That's why I want to throw that name out there. Other than that, though, I don't think there's a lot of – are there any bats that interest you in Houston? Because McCormick is out and a lot of moving pieces there.
Well, we didn't mention Caratini.
Yes.
I would not start Verlander, though. I think he's washed up.
Yeah.
Hayward's playing versus righties now. I think he had a homer on Monday.
Yes.
So I think it's really just – Caratini and Hayward are the two widely available that have any relevance right now.
Perfect. Kansas City Royals, you got Singer, Lugo, Reagans. They should all be rostered. Pretty much maybe Singer's out there. It's at Atlanta. Atlanta's going to be playing for their postseason lives, I think, still that weekend. So that's not a pushover by any means. It will be three right-handed pitchers. So maybe you go to Mount Massey that Ryan likes so much, even though he struggled tremendously. Any bats in Kansas City that stand out to you?
Well, so I think I mentioned last week, I had to drop MJ Melendez because of they're facing Mitchell Parker, DJ Hurst, and Patrick Corbin to start the week. So that also means that like Kyle Isbell was sitting all three games. I mean, he's more of a DC play. That's where I had to think about Isbell. But yeah, so I forget if I did mention this, but I don't know if you caught it, but I did drop Singer actually in that main event because he has not been good under the hood lately. He's walking a lot of guys. So in September, he has a 10.5% walk rate, only an 8.4% K minus walk rate. His Sierra is 4.83. So I'd be careful with Singer, even if the Braves are, I don't know, they'll probably be in it still come Friday. But Lugo's a start probably. And Reagan's, depending on what happens with the Royals, maybe he doesn't start that game. But hopefully you have the flexibility to sit him if that happens.
Yeah, Reagan's is a big question mark for me if he even makes that start. But I like the Isbell call a lot. He's been playing really well versus right-handed pitching, especially in deeper formats. Yep. Wagamane just got a base hit, by the way. Just want to throw that out there.
There you go.
Angels, Detmers, Canning, Kohanowitz versus Texas over the weekend. Honestly, as much as Detmers crushed people, it's a lefty versus Texas. I think you can stream all these guys in a daily format. If you're going to add, drop, and try to maximize strikeouts and whatnot, I think you can start at least Detmers and Canning for strikeouts, Kohanowitz for ratio, honestly.
Yeah, Texas versus Rice has been better than lefties. Better. I think I mentioned their splits for Basso. So it seems like Detmers should be good there, but look what happened with the White Sox.
Breach.
Yeah, I could see if anyone listening is gun-shy with that one. But, yeah, the Rangers are not the team that they were supposed to be. So it's a good matchup. I've been looking at the stream against the Rangers the last few weeks. Canning, I'm not too happy to start him there. And if you had Kohanowitz for the two-step, that you're starting him there, but assuming you have a weekly lock for pitchers. But, yeah, I'd be cautious with Detmers. I mean, if you need strikeouts maybe, but he had like two innings at one start or whatever it was. So blow-ups definitely in the cards.
Yep, and two righties out of the three games. So you got Wagamane and company that'll be widely available. A lot of Angels bats will be available that weekend. Dodgers, Gonsolin might make the start Friday. Knack pitching Sunday. I know Knack I like for sure, but like Yamamoto, who knows what he does in that? Gonsolin's a question mark. So who knows what the Dodgers are doing over the weekend?
Yeah, I think Yamamoto even gets a chance for a win.
Yeah, I don't. I think they limit, they need him in October.
Right. So maybe he goes four innings and then gives him three runs, and then what's that do for you? Not much. So maybe just start Knack.
Yep. Start Knack and see what you can do on that one. Miami, one thing I'll mention though is when the Dodgers decide to start resting guys, keep an eye on that because it's a Coors series. Andy Páez has started to hit a little better. If he can play two out of three games that week, I know it's all right-handed pitching, but he's been filling in lately. If he gets more at-bats, someone to keep in mind for a stream. Just throw that one out there. Miami Marlins, we talked about this one. You know, Aller, McCoffin, Weathers. You didn't mind Weathers, but they faced the three righties, so a lot of bats are available this weekend, Ben.
Yep. So I am starting Jonah Bride, Kyle Stowers, and Xavier Edwards all in the same main event. Bride hit the homer tonight. I don't know if we mentioned that on air, but I remember I saw that before we started recording. Stowers is – he has played versus lefties, but they have all righties for the schedule, so he should play six times. And we mentioned Otto Lopez is a great ad. Griffin Conine is the other one who's starting for them. I wasn't too interested in him. He is a lefty, though, so maybe that helps out. And, of course, Jesus Sanchez. He should be gone, but hopefully he feasts this week as well.
Yep, going to mention him as well. So a lot of options to stream over the weekend in Miami. Milwaukee, you got Ray, Montas, Myers over the weekend. That should stick, I'm pretty sure. And they're facing Quintana, Miguel, Severino. Garrett Mitchell would be a guy I'd look to pick up over the weekend, folks. Playing two out of three games, pitching very well versus righties.
Yeah, he was down at the bottom of the list for the OCAs. I saw him. I didn't mention him, but I actually did start Mitchell in my main event. Because of even with the two starts, because he is the homer and speed threat. And I just wish he got a strikeout rate down. That's really the one thing that's kind of hampering his production. And I wish, I don't know if they'll have him that versus lefties next year. I was listening to the RotoWire pod with Fred and Jeff, and they were talking about what he could do next year, Mitchell. But that's assuming that what Fred was saying was assuming that he gets full plate appearances. And I don't know if that's going to happen. So it's that lefty platoon bat, but four out of six with what Mitchell can do. I mean, he could hit two homers and steal two bases or maybe one base. So I'm going to keep playing him.
Yep. I'm with you. I did the same thing. Same thing. Minnesota, any interest in Zebby Matthews? Cause Lopez and Obrey wet roster, but Matthews versus Baltimore.
Oh man. They've been bad, the Orioles, but I mean, I don't know, like Santana there said a homer tonight. I heard you when that happened, but I have Santana in that main event. So I'm like, all right, that's fine. let's have it. But yeah, Matthews, he's been, he had that blow up. Let me look at the stats because I want to have a good, So he has pretty good numbers in September. He's a 17.7% K minus walk, which is solid. Estimators under four. Not the best swinging strike rate, but not throwing many balls. I think if you're desperate, maybe. They are home at least and not in Baltimore. Maybe the Orioles are in a position where they don't have to start. They can rest half the team that day, rest the other half Sunday. Who knows? But just be careful with that one. He's prone to the blowups.
Yes, indeedy. Bats wise, you got your Carlos Santanas, maybe Wallner's out there, kind of your usual suspects there in Minnesota. New York Mets, Quintana, we talked about, so we're on board with that. Tyler McGill, is he interest you against Milwaukee?
Oh man, I was against that two step. But it was weird though. So he didn't pitch many innings on Sunday night. No,
he did not.
So that's kind of concerning, I guess. So against the Brewers, how have they been doing versus righties? Milwaukee. Yeah, they've been struggling versus righties. Maybe if you're desperate for, if you need strikeouts, okay. But if you need a win, maybe not. Cause I don't know if I'm kind of worried about him going five innings now.
Yep, I'm with you on that. And when talking Mets, we talked about Acuna maybe has value. Maybe Lindor's back this weekend. If not, go get Iglesias, who's widely available, and see where that goes for you. Yankees, they should have Rodon, Ill, and Schmidt going. That should be normal business procedure. Two righties, one lefty. Any bats of interest there for you with the Yanks?
No, it's not really the best matchup because they have Jared Jones and Paul Skeens. So yeah, it won't be easy for whoever would be available. I'm trying to think of who's been starting. It's mainly been the same lineup. I don't want Rizzo. I'm not playing him in my DCs, and he's probably the only one who would be available in an OC. So okay, not much you can do there.
Yep, fair enough. Oakland Athletics, Sears, Estes, and Spence going this weekend at Seattle. All will be available, Ben. Do you trust any of them in your daily leagues?
Oh, man, So Seattle's been the best team versus righties in September.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not good anymore. They're being led by
J-Rod has woken up.
Yeah, J-Rod
has woken up.
Yeah, he wants another month of baseball to happen. Maybe Sears. Let's see what they look like versus lefties. He's not the best. They're 7th, 126 WRC plus.
They're not bad.
Yeah, I would definitely not start Estes. When I noticed that Spence had the 2-step now, I moved him down my lineups or my bids because of how good the Mariners have been. So, yeah, I'm not a big fan of all three of them.
Yep, it's a rough go there with the A's. They get to face three righties, so you know, go see what's available. Maybe JJ Bleday in your deeper daily leagues, but most
Castillo,
players,
Wu, and Miller, like yeah, it's three good starters.
Yeah, it's not a want to go run and target type situation. Philadelphia will be completely up in the air because they locked the number one seed. So I'm not even going to approach trying to figure that one out. Any bats like a Rojas, a Marsh, any long shot bats you'd be interested in as they face Trevor Williams, Mackenzie Gore, and Jake Irvin?
Well, Rojas is playing, so maybe if he needs steals, he might be in there. But, oh, Hayes is back. That's nice, finally.
He returned today, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe he starts, but so Hayes was playing over Rojas, and Marsh was playing center, I believe, when they were all there. But now tonight, Brent Marsh is sitting. It is a versus a lefty, though, so
yep.
Maybe.
I think Rojas and Marsh, they were platooning before Hayes got hurt.
Yeah, so that I guess that means that Rojas may not be the ad. Well, it's only one lefty. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not too confident about anybody here.
It's kind of a mess. Okay. So we'll see how that one plays out. Pittsburgh, you're not adding Bailey Falter. I'm not letting you do that, even if it's a depleted Yankees team. Just don't do it. Pittsburgh bats, your Triolos of the world. Was it Knock that got called up and playing second base? I probably just butchered that, but anybody that stands out to you potentially hitting-wise from Pittsburgh as they face Rodon, Eel, and Schmidt?
Those are tough matchups, for sure. So they have Billy Cook playing over Rowdy. I mean, he's playing outfield and first. I don't know who he is.
Burn the Jolly Roger down.
Yeah, Triolo. I've had Triolo in my one-man event for basically all September. He's been great. He steals bases. It's a homer every now and then. So I like Triolo. I think he's kind of – I have him in the same mindset as, like, Jonah Bride and the guys in the Marlins, just playing every day and is good for a deeper league. But in a three-game series over the weekend, it could be useful in an OC as well or a 12-team league.
Most definitely. Padres, Martin Perez at Arizona, does that do anything for you?
No, they've been so good.
Yes, I'm staying far away there. And bats-wise, they're going to start – like I still don't know if Nelson starts on Saturday. Merrill Kelly's a question mark. E-Rod on Sunday, and the Padres don't platoon anybody, so don't even know how to help you there. Seattle, you're not starting their pitchers because they're already rostered, but they're facing Sears, Estes, and Spence. Are there any – like, do you go get Luke Raley for the weekend? Anybody like that interest you with the Mariners?
Yeah, two starts is solid for Raley. J.P. Crawford might be available, but, I mean, he's actually been better the last couple of weeks. When he first came back off the IL, he was pretty bad, Crawford. Polanco's on fire now. I think he had a homer tonight. The whole lineup's been good there. So Rojas might be an option. He'll hit a homer on my bench and my DCs all the time. But,
yeah,
it's not too many options. I mean, the 2-1 kind of hurts because they platoon a lot, the Mariners. So, yeah.
All right, we got the Giants. Roop against St. Louis. He's actually been decent. So if you're in a deep, deep daily league, I could see it. I like Birdsong on Sunday. Before we get to bats, are you interested in Roop or Birdsong?
I almost texted you about Roop, but I wasn't sure since he wasn't confirmed, I was hesitant to put him in my bid list. I didn't know too much about him. But it is a good matchup versus the Cardinals, so I could see if he is confirmed, maybe adding him for that start.
And what I'll mention is the Giants face all righties this week, so it's three righties over the weekend. So go get your Yastrzemskis, your Confortos. I'm not the biggest Wade guy right now, but he had a couple home runs over the weekend. This is another one of those bad teams. We'll have a lot of streaming options this weekend, lots of them.
And Grant McRae, he does strike out a lot, though. And then
Brett Wisely looks like he's even hitting well.
You said Wisely, yeah. Since looks like he's been playing versus righties lately. So
yeah, they have a lot of youth. They're all playing well at the right time. They're having fun because they have nothing to play for. So they're enjoying that. Cardinals, Mikolas, Palante, McCreevy at the Giants. Honestly, I never make a list, so maybe that's a problem of mine. But Pallante and McGreevy, I don't mind at all against the Giants.
I know nothing about McGreevy. The problem is with McGreevy, though, at least in NFBC, was that he was at Colorado to start the week, so you had to deal with that. But yeah, Pallante's been good, even though it looks ugly under the surface. He's not really striking out a lot more than he's walking, so that's never a good recipe. And I think I had a bid for Michaelis, but that was like way at the bottom if I didn't get anybody else other than that. Yeah, so I mean, it's not ideal, of course, because he just gets crushed now, Michaelis, and him and Pallante are like the same pitcher, not a lot of K's, and you kind of hope they work around trouble.
Yep. And we're looking at bats again. Jordan Walker, if available. You looking like a Brendan Donovan, a Newt Barr, anything like that with the Cardinals lineup?
Yeah, Donovan and Newt Barr. Well, Donovan's playing versus lefty, so he's basically full-time now for them. The one thing that – so I've had Siani in my one main event, and I didn't even play him for the course series because they're facing two lefties, and he does start versus lefties, but he sat versus two of the last three righties, Siani, and he's good for steals, but his average has been so bad lately. So, I mean, if you're desperate for steals, add Siani, but – the playing time isn't really there now after it was for his defense. So, like I said, I didn't even start him in the core series, but I have him on my bench.
All right, looking at the Rays over the weekend, it looks like Taj, Boz, and Pepio, they should all be rostered. Facing three righties, though, in Crawford, Pivetta, and Hauk. Not cakewalk matchups. So anybody interest you in the hitting department there for the Rays?
Yeah, so one guy I ended up realizing when I was doing Fab that's been really good is Jonathan Aranda, and I didn't have enough money to get him, but he was near the top of my bid list. He had, I think, homers in three straight games or something like that. And yep. So with the righties on schedule for the weekend, they are at Boston, so it's a little tougher to hit a homer there, but it could be good for average and runs and just any kind of production because Hauk pitched well, but he had his struggles. Pivetta is always good for a blow up, and even Crawford too. Like they're all those guys are blow up prone or at least homer prone. So I would like, Aranda for sure. And you may be thinking DeLuca, but he's been sitting every other like game now, and it's annoying. Of course,
I moved on from DeLuca.
He had that massive week, and then you add him, and now he's not playing anymore. It's classic Rays. So
the Albert Suarez of hitters.
Oh god, yeah, yeah. So I would go for Aranda though.
Yeah, for sure.
That's about it.
All right, three more teams: Texas Rangers, DeGrom, Heaney, Eovaldi. Heaney might be available. Do you like Heaney versus the Angels?
In that matchup, yes.
Yes. Hitting-wise, though, going up against Detmers, Canning, and Kahanowitz, we've mentioned how bad Texas has been. Are you going to maybe go take a chance on a Josh Smith or somebody like that? Leody Tavares has actually been swinging it well. I'll say that much. Kind of quietly swinging it well.
Yes, yeah, so he was dropped in one of my main events or 15s, and I did have a bid in for Tavares, at least in one or two spots. Yeah, him, I mean, but I guess in – 12 Smith might be available. He's been rostered all year in 15s, but they have Justin Foscue and Jonathan Ornelas as their eighth and ninth hitters right now in roster resource.
So bad.
Yeah. So I forget who I was debating versus the Rangers, but I'm not worried really about them at all right now. Like Heim's bad.
Bassett, probably.
Yeah. Garcia's awful. Simeon's bad. It's not good for them right now.
Yep, things are looking good if you're opposing pitchers. Toronto Blue Jays, Barrios, Yuriel Rodriguez, Chris Bassett. A lot of Chris Bassett slander in the chat, rightfully so. They take on the Marlins, though. Are you starting Yuriel Rodriguez or Chris Bassett for those matchups?
Oh, man, if it was before any time else in the season, I'd say yes. But I don't know, Bassett, he's bad. I don't think Yariel's going that deep in the games, right? He's walking a lot of guys, I think, last time I saw. And I mean, the Marlins have been okay versus righties, and I'm targeting a lot of their hitters. So with all that said, I feel like I would try to avoid those matchups. I don't know. They're in Toronto. It's probably that park's been weird for hitters, though, too. Yeah, I don't know. Big targets of mine.
Yeah, not much there. They're facing two righties and one lefty. Toronto bats like your Bargers, your Horwitzes, stuff like that could be options for you this weekend, though, if you're looking for some hitters, that's for sure.
Yep.
Washington Nationals will wrap it up here. You got Trevor Williams, Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin. Williams will be widely available, but we're facing Phillies. Who knows what Phillies, but any interest there? And then the bats, two righties, one lefty. You might have more interest in hitters for Washington than pitchers.
Yeah, Irvin's really collapsed. I think I sat him in my DC where I had him for the one start. Who knows if he makes it or how far he goes in the game. Yeah, and Williams, I don't know if he made – has he made a start since he came back already?
I thought he started last week.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he did, but he's not very good. And it's the Friday game, so most of them might be playing still, most of the Phillies. I wouldn't really go after Williams. And Gore has been up and down all year, and I never know what – I've kind of avoided him after having him last year. But, yeah, I'm not too interested in the pitchers.
Well, any bats if they're available for you, like Tanya – He might be available depending on the depth of your Yahoo leagues and whatnot. But Trevor Williams in his one start at Wrigley, 5 innings, 1 run, 7 Ks.
Go figure. Yep. I mean, the only one who's really available is Gallo. Gallo. Oof. But oof. I do not want Gallo. I want my average to not get destroyed.
Yeah, I pass on that. I'd rather have some Judd Gallo wine than rostering Joey Gallo. So, yeah, that's a rough one there. But all right, Ben, we went through all 30 teams there. We went through our fab from this past week. Before we head out of here, any final thoughts for the listeners? We wrapped up 27 weeks of fab, recaps, final weeks here. Our rosters, our pitchers are set for an FBC. We'll do hitters over the weekend. But those in daily leagues, that was kind of the purpose of this show, is to help you guys make some more moves potentially. So any final thoughts, Ben, as we get ready to head out of here and wrap up another regular season of baseball?
Yeah, I'll say good luck to you and all the listeners. And don't want to get too sappy, but I mean, after being a listener, going back to 2019, it's been awesome to be on here almost every week this year. I know some other circumstances played into that, but I really appreciate it. It's kind of surreal that I've been able to do this almost every week. So I thank you for that. And I don't take it for granted at all. I still wait for that text to confirm it, even though you say that I'll be on next week, but you never know. So thank you. I it's been awesome. I've enjoyed this every week, and hopefully I've been able to help the listeners and whatever I can offer to you too. I know, because like you've been doing this a lot longer than I have, but anything I can offer to anybody is always nice. Hopefully I don't give away too many secrets to my competitors. That's always a tricky balance, as I know you're sure of. But
yes,
it's been awesome, and it's been a fun season, and hopefully we can hang on over these last probably 5 days by everyone listens.
Yep, I agree, man. Thanks for joining me. It's been fun this year. Like I said, we'll have more to come for our listeners. I know the listeners have enjoyed it. I've heard some feedback there. So it's been a great time, and I appreciate you joining me along the way and your flexibility with my goofy schedule. Thanks to the listeners, even hanging on, you know, Adam and Michael in the chat tonight. It's the end of the year. Like, no one's really focused too much more on fab recaps of baseball and whatnot. So I appreciate you guys all for hanging around this season. We'll be back with you guys with more stuff throughout the off season. But until next time, make sure you check out Ben on Twitter at @BreakingBen_T. I'm @BDintrick. And until next time, this was Benched with Bubba, episode 690. Catch y'all later.